Richie Neal, you've done well for the people of Springfield. They love you out there. But now you're my congressman also. You had to reintroduce yourself to a whole bunch of people. How's that going?
I think it's been terrific. I've enjoyed it immensely. I think that the people across the Berkshires have a very enviable lifestyle. And I also think that getting to know them better as time goes on is going to be a happenstance that is going to be very joyous for me. And, in fact, I will be in the Berkshires promoting a free trade conference. I'm going to be speaking to the Berkshire Chamber of Commerce. Made a number of appearances already, have had a chance to visit the schools, and intend to highlight the great economic strengths as recently published by the Federal Reserve Board in conjunction with the work of the Berkshire Chamber of Congress. So I think that they all have great opportunity for growth.
Are we different over in the Berkshires than they are around Springfield?
Well, I think it's different to the extent that there's not the same concentration of population.
Uh-huh.
If you consider that Chicopee, Holyoke, Westfield, and Springfield are major urban centers, but they all tend to be located in the same media market. Southern Berkshire County is often considered, at least on the margins, to be part of that media market. But the concentration of media in Hampden County is different than the Berkshires, which is more spread out, that's for sure.
How well do you know Congressman Markey, and can he win for the Senate?
Oh, I think he can win. I've known him very well for a long, long period of time. He's a very decent guy. He comes from Malden. One of the great stories of modern Massachusetts politics is how he first got elected to Congress. It is part of the lore of our political structure in the state.
And how did he do it?
Well, he actually had been stripped of his committee assignment, had been stripped of his office assignment, and had been redistricted out of his state representative job.
Well, why were they mad at him?
Well, I think that he was in the midst of a reform battle with the Speaker of the House, Tom McGee, at the time.
Uh-huh.
And
this is the state legislature.
And with some irony and some humor, of which Massachusetts politics is comprised,
right.
Torbert McDonald, by coincidence, who had been Jack Kennedy's roommate at Harvard, he dropped dead, a member of Congress. So without much of a base, Ed Markey, in a field of 10, ran for Congress and ran on the slogan, "They can tell me where to sit, but they'll never tell me where to stand."
and he was also the youngest congressman, wasn't he?
He was very young at the time. That's correct. He's been here for 36 years. And I must tell you, it's an example, again, if you use it correctly, he won in what everybody would call an odd election, and he's been here ever since.
Well, I hope you're right. I have a feeling, and personally hope you're right, I have a feeling, however, that Scott Brown is going to be tough to beat.
He is going to be tough to beat, and I think Ed acknowledges that. We had a pretty good victory, as you know, across the state with Elizabeth Warren. But it's also important to understand that as you do the tabulations in the first congressional district, I believe her margin was she won by about 41,000 votes.
Right.
Almost 27,000 of that vote margin came from Springfield.
Interesting. But also it came because Barack Obama, right?
Oh, there's no question. Having the president at the top of the ballot, it drew out people that might find it only necessary to vote in presidential election cycles.
Yeah.
But certainly the turnout everywhere was increased and exponentially. Democratic candidates tend to benefit on that basis.
Yeah, but so that doesn't speak well of his chances this time.
Well, I think that he would be savvy enough to understand that you have to target people. And I just read a wonderful book by Sasha Eisenberg about the role that data mining plays now.
Remind us what that is.
Well, data mining is very similar to the idea that you can now retrieve all sorts of information. Not prying, but you can retrieve this information about voting patterns, for example.
Sure.
You can find out who only votes in state elections. You can find out who only votes in national elections.
Uh-huh.
You can find out who votes in special elections. You can find out who lives in a union household. You can find out, because magazine sales are so rampant, you can actually get that information as to who subscribes to what magazines. And that information can be easily purchased. And the result is that putting pressure on neighbors to get out and vote has now been determined to be in a very effective way to get them to do that. So if you deal with these young professionals, as I have come to know them, you're astounded at the revolution that has taken place in terms of data mining. But what's important to emphasize is even after you know who they are, you've still got to figure out how to get them to vote.
Special elections have got to be better for the Republicans than the Democrats, don't they?
Well, I think that the level of intensity sometimes inures to their benefit. But remember, with micro-trending, that if you use micro-trending correctly, you can reach large swaths of voters by positions that you've taken in the past as well, and encourage them to make sure that they get to the polls based upon that alignment that they made in terms of having similar philosophy.
Just for the sake of everybody listening, Richie, what's microtrending?
Well, a quick example. In the last presidential primary cycle, professional women who lived in the suburbs tended to favor Barack Obama. Women who worked in capacities that women had heretofore generally not been involved in, they favored Hillary Clinton. And you can see that as the vote totals accumulated, that the voting turned out that way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are working, for example, if you drive by a construction site in the street, and you can see that there are now women who actually wave the red flags and do the construction work, they tended to come down on the side of Hillary Clinton. And if you were an accountant, for example, or an attorney who was a female who lived in a suburban community, and you were an independent voter, you tended to favor President Obama. So you can figure some of that out just based upon some of the polling data that you asked, because the polling data has very far-reaching consequence. It is not just a snapshot of the moment. It's also an indication of where long-term voting patterns might lie. Now, that can be found in upheaval at times, where you found independent voters, for example, who voted overwhelmingly for Bill Clinton. Then they voted for George Bush. Then they voted for Barack Obama.
Interesting.
So they're a volatile part of the American electorate today, but getting them to participate in a primary is the challenge.
Who do you use for your polling?
Well, I've used a fellow named Paleologus, who does polling for Suffolk University and one of the Boston TV channels, and he has been with the Boston Herald from different times as well. And I will tell you this with great satisfaction, the last two races that I've had, he has called it right on the number.
Interesting.
He sat with me 3 years ago, told me what I could get for a vote total, what he thought I would get, and election night, that's what I got. And in the last round of the primary that I had that included the Berkshires, he did a poll early on, said, this is what you're going to do, and you will win this comfortably. And he said that he thought that I could break a few more points in terms of the ceiling, but I never had to worry about the floor. The floor was going to remain, and it did.
Wow. That's so interesting stuff. I mean, I think most of us don't have the slightest idea about, you know, how all of that works. Talk to me a little bit about Medicare and Social Security. We've talked many times. You are the expert in the Congress. Many people think that sooner or later you're going to be chair of the powerful Ways and Means Committee. I think I'm sensing the Republicans have backed off a little bit.
They have backed off, and I think that that cooling off period that they're going through is fascinating to the extent that their brand is now been very difficult to sell to the American people. And quick example, you can see that as President Obama has dug in on some of these questions, his number has gone up with voters, and their number has gone down. So I think that they have to reshape the message that they're offering to the American people, and they've clearly lost these debt ceiling arguments, for example.
Absolutely.
And the debt ceiling is not a question of new spending. It's about paying your bills. And I think that in the case of President Obama, he wisely said after the last round of budget accord, he said, I will not negotiate the debt ceiling question. This is about paying your bills. So my example would be, I voted against the war in Iraq, and I voted against the Bush tax cuts in 2001 and in 2003. And based upon that, it's my judgment that on the other side, those who voted for the tax cuts and who voted for the war in Iraq, how can you not vote now to pay the bills that have accumulated because of the positions you had previously taken?
So, with 1 minute to go, the Republicans are on the run. Clearly, Obama's got some numbers here and some mojo. Can you take the House?
Well, I think it's still a bit of an upstart. It's a stretch, but I think that the trend is better than it was, that's for sure. And the problem is that fatigue settles in the sixth year of any presidency.
Right.
And we caught a huge break in Clinton's sixth year, as you recall, when the impeachment process was underway. We actually picked up seats, which defied the historic norm. But I think everybody acknowledges how hard that lift is going to be.
Richie Neal, we love talking to you. You're always an educator, and you always teach us something, and we thank you so much for being here. The next time, we'll talk a little bit more, okay?
Delighted to be with you, Alan.